ಸುಮತಿ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಯೋ ಬಡೋ ನಗರ ಗೋಕುಲ ರಂಜನ ಕಾನ ದಸುಮತಿ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಯೋ ಬಡೋ ನಗರ ಗೋಕುಲ ರಂಜನ ಕಾನ
ಶಿಲಾಲಿತಾ ಮಾಧವ Act 8, Pastimes in New Vrindavan. Accompanied by another Vrinda, Vishvakarma enters. Vishvakarma speaks. Lord Krishna's palace, where the leaders of the demigods, eager to enter, beg the doorkeeper with respectfully folded hands, and where the doorkeeper has them wait at the doorstep, and at the right moment allows Brahma and Shiva to enter, enchants my heart. Glancing at his side, he says, Child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna was bewildered into thinking that Satyabhama was a statue, and Satyabhama was herself bewildered into thinking Krishna was a statue. Their bewilderment was my work. He smiles. Then again, they were not bewildered. They were only overwhelmed by the nectar of their love and separation. Navavrinda speaks. When the royal counselor Uddhava expertly informed them about the secret of their actual identities, both Radha and Krishna became overwhelmed with a desire to enjoy pastimes together. Yearning to meet with Radha, Krishna, whose eyes are like two red lotus petals, approached Queen Rukmini in the inner rooms of the palace, and, after doing many things to satisfy and please her, said, Goddess in all the three worlds, what would you like? Beloved, please command me. With great respect, I will do everything to please you. In this way, give me the sweetness of your mercy. Vishvakarma asks, Then? Navavrinda answers, Then, understanding the desire of the queen's heart, Madhavi said, My lord, what wonderful thing in the entire world is not already present in your palace? Still one day, from the beak of a swan flying in the sky, a very wonderful lotus flower fell here. Princess Rukmini wishes many of these lotuses so that she may string a great garland of them. Vishvakarma says, Yes, my child, I know. I told him to collect the lotus flowers named Sura Saugandhika. Accepting this advice from my mouth, lotus-eyed Krishna has set out for the Khandava forest. Navavrinda says, Lord Krishna then collected these lotus flowers and placed them in the hands of Madhu Mangal, who gave them to Madhavi. Now, on the pretext of some other business, Krishna has entered the palace to beg a favor from his queen. Vishvakarma says, Where were you going just now? Navavrinda says, To see you. Vishvakarma asks, Why? Navavrinda answers, Aware of the great fame of your wonderful artistic craftsmanship, Queen Rukmini asked you to create many very beautiful and pleasing garments and ornaments so wonderful even in the city of the king of the demigods that no one has seen the like of them before. Has the noble gentleman completed them yet? Vishvakarma answers, Not only for Queen Rukmini, but I also made them for Satyabhama. Navavrinda says, Noble sir, Queen Rukmini will be upset. Vishvakarma says, Daughter, don't worry. I said to Queen Rukmini, O goddess, because Satyabhama is the sun god's daughter, she is also my granddaughter. Therefore, I must make ornaments for her also. I will give you the two boxes of ornaments. They both exit. Krishna then enters. Krishna says, Because of the pain of separation from my beloved Radha, my eyes bathe my chest in tears, moistening the fragrant sandal paste ointment there. Burning with the pain of separation from my beloved Radha, my chest then dries that moistened sandal paste. In this way, my eyes and chest are engaged in a fierce battle over that sandal paste. Alas, even in hundreds of dreams, I cannot attain the rare festival of the sight of my beloved. One day, will my Radha unexpectedly come here and surprise me with an embrace? Looking ahead, he says, Queen Rukmini, the daughter of the king of Kundina, decorates the jeweled entranceway of the palace. Attended by Madhavi, Chandravali enters. Chandravali says, Madhavi, my noble husband comes. bring the garland of Sura Saugandhika flowers. Krishna approaches and says, O queen, you are like a beautiful regal swan that wonderfully spreads its wings in the lake of my heart. Chandravali, with feeling, says, O Madhavi, he has spoken nicely. Why do you smile to hear his words? Madhavi replies, Princess, I smile to think of the duck that also stays in that lake. Krishna says, Ignorant Madhavi, whose only wealth is a beak that itches for a quarrel, stop. You cannot change Chandravali's love. Note, if the word Tamomayi is interpreted to mean, O Rahu planet, and the word Uparanjayitum to mean is eclipsed, then the statement may be understood to mean, O Rahu planet Madhavi, whose only wealth is a beak that itches for a quarrel, stop. You have no power to eclipse the many moons of Srimati Chandravali. He glances at Queen Rukmini and says, O fair complexioned one, my heart is deeply in love with you. My heart cannot live for a moment without you. Madhavi says, Princess, you strung this garland of Sura Saugandhika flowers with your own hand. Chandravali takes the garland and says, Noble husband, may this garland become the wife of your Kastuba jewel. She places the garland on his chest. Krishna says, O beautiful girl, my broad chest is a palatial home for you. In the palace of my chest, the Kastuba jewel resides with your garland as his wife. In truth, he can take no other wife. Embarrassed, Chandravali bows her head. Krishna, with love and respect, he touches her hand. Today, I have promised to visit a certain ascetic woman who is continually engaged in meditation on the Supreme Lord. Please give me permission to visit her today. O girl whose complexion is as fair as Kunkum, please allow me to keep my promise to her. Chandravali says, As it pleases my noble husband. Krishna, aside, says, The obstacle is broken. Now I will go to New Vrindavan. And then he exits. Navarvrinda enters. My queen, here are two boxes of ornaments. The first one is for the queen, it bears the special mark. The second one is for Satyabhama. Madhavi, aside, says, He must have made better ornaments for his own granddaughter. I will switch the boxes and decorate Princess Rukmini with the ornaments of the second box. Openly, she says, Navarvrinda, give me both boxes. I will have the second box sent to Satyabhama. Navarvrinda does that. Chandravali says, Now I will go to bathe in the palace lake. Accompanied by her companions, she exits. Navarvrinda says, This is the auspicious time for me to have springtime, the king of seasons, crown the forest of Vrindavan. For this purpose, I will go there. She walks. A voice from behind the scenes says, Seeing the Lord enjoying pastimes by happily walking with his beloved in the forest garden filled with flowers, all the seasons become happy, bringing all their opulences at once appearing in that place. Navarvrinda says, Why, decorated with forest flowers and making Vrindavan forest all perfect by his presence, does Lord Krishna, who enchants the entire world, now follow beautifully decorated Radha? Looking again, becoming struck with wonder, she says, The sweet words, the cooing of the cuckoo birds on its branches, their handsomeness its trunk, their amorous desires its many shoots, their perspiration its pearl fruits, their tears its honey, and even their pastimes, the birds that make it tremble even though it never moves, the desire tree of Sri Radha Krishna's transcendental bliss shines with great splendor. As described, Radha and Krishna enter. Krishna says, I was searching for some sign of you, and now I have found you yourself, the supreme goddess of fortune of all the worlds. I was like a person who wanders over the entire universe in search of a handful of chickpeas and finds a monsoon shower of gold instead. Navarvrinda, seeing Radha, says, Ah, ha! Her eyes filled with tears. She is not able to see lotus-eyed Krishna. The vines of her arms completely stunned. She has no power to embrace him. Her voice choked up. She cannot speak. Although doe-eyed Radha has finally met Krishna after a very long time, these obstacles still remain to separate her from him. Krishna comes close to Radha. One moment, he says, my heart burns in the flames of separation. and in the next moment it is aroused by the kiss of amorous desire. O girl whose breasts are like water pots, please throw on me your glance filled with the flowers of ever new playfulness, flowing with nectar, and flooded with waves of the dancing of your restless, graceful eyebrows. Radha Embarrassed says, Navavrinda, I am definitely dreaming. How I plunge again and again into the ocean of happiness. When I waken, will it not again and again weep with an open throat? Navavrinda replies, Dear friend, you have just awakened from a terrible nightmare. Listen, in this forest of New Vrindavan there are many trees who all feel a great festival of happiness to be watered by many hundreds of glistening streams created by mountains of Chandrakanta jewels melting in the moonlight. With the playful humming of many swarms of bumblebees blinded by the sweet fragrance of the blooming lotus flowers, this forest of New Vrindavan seems to be calling out to us. Note, the Chandrakanta jewel is said to melt when exposed to the moonlight. Krishna says, Navavrinda, well done, well done. This is unprecedented. Accompanied by all their jubilant friends and associates, all the seasons have gathered together in this one place. Navavrinda says, Friend Radha, look. Look at this tree growing in the lap of this hill. Even though it has no branches, the beauty of its many flowers eclipses the stars and fills the peacocks with happiness. Note, if the word Nilakantha is taken to mean Lord Shiva, if Sumanaha is taken to mean a happy heart, if Taraka means the demon Taraka, if Saila Bhuvaha means the goddess Parvati, and if Vishakhite means become like the demigod Kartikeya, then this verse reveals the following alternate meaning. Friend Radha, look! Look at this tree! It is just like the demigod Kartikeya who sits on Parvati's lap, who delights Lord Shiva, and who with a cheerful heart killed the demon Taraka. Radha, filled with longing, says to herself, Alas, where is my dear friend Vishakha? Krishna aside says, The words of Navavrinda reminded her of her friend Vishakha, which made her heart unhappy. I will describe Vishakha to her. Openly, he says, Beloved, listen for a moment to this wonderful news. Today, carrying a Sura Sugandhika flower and accompanied by Arjuna, the son of Pandu, I entered the Kandava forest. As Arjuna was hunting deer with his Gandiva bow, two birds were taken away by two eagles. The first bird said, O parrot friend, I will never again taste the delicious moon-like lotus roots. The parrot then said, O friend, I will never again enjoy the oranges that look like so many red Mars planets in Radha's Pala Shastra sacrifice. Radha, struck with wonder, says, Then, Krishna replies, Hearing this, I eagerly released the two birds. Then I began wandering in the forest where I met a very peaceful old lady. I asked her, Who are you? She replied, This lake was created for the birds by the performance of a sacrifice. It is filled with fragrant Sura Sugandhika lotus flowers created by severe austerities. Here is also a garden filled with nectar-sweet fruits. I am a Pulinda woman. I am the protectress of these two places. I asked her, Who performed the sacrifice that created this lake? She answered, A girl who possesses great wealth as austerity. She followed a vow to live submerged in the water of that lake. Now that vow is completed, she has begun a vow to live in the forest. The name of this vow is Radha Bhishta Sadhana, the vow to attain the desire of meeting Radha. Radha asks, Then? Krishna replies, Then that old lady told me of the mountain cave where the girl stayed. I went there and the girl engaged in practicing austerities, her complexion spotted, her body covered with dust and clothed in tree bark, her hair matted, and her lotus hand holding a string of rubies entered the pathway of my eyes. She also saw me, and at once began to loudly cry. Speaking with broken words, she said, O playful prince who enjoys pastimes in the city of Gokula's King Nanda, O black bee who at once flies into the lotus flowers of the gopis' hearts, O dark musk anointing Radha's breasts, again you have entered the pathway of my eyes. I was struck with wonder. I asked her, Who are you? In a choked voice she said, O Lord, I am your unfortunate maidservant Vishakha. Radha says, "Alas, alas! Oh, my dear friends, Vishakha, I am unfortunate, I am very unfortunate." Krishna says, "Streams of hot and cold tears simultaneously flowed from my eyes into my yellow garment. Stunned and motionless, I leaned for a moment on Vishakha's shoulder. Wishing to please her, I made her happy by telling the good news of your arrival. The now beautifully dressed, slender Vishakha, I then happily brought to Dwarka City." Radha eagerly says, "Oh, handsome one, I bow down to offer my respects to you. Please let me see Vishakha." Krishna glances at the face of Navavrinda. Navavrinda says, "Vishakha said to me, 'Alas, my father's words have killed me. He said that as long as my dear friend Radha was separated from the Shyamantaka jewel, I would not be allowed to see her. That is why I entered the waters of the mountain stream.'" Radha says, "It is true, it is true. Mother Sangha said to me, 'Child Radha, when the Shyamantaka jewel is placed in your hand, all your desires will be fulfilled.'" Navavrinda says, "My lord, look, look. The jasmine flowers are smiling. The kadamba flowers have opened wide. The jati flowers seem to be laughing. Oh Krishna, look. The parnasa flowers have appeared. The priyango flowers are beginning to blossom. The opulence of all the seasons have become manifest at the same time." Note, these flowers bloom during different seasons. At this time, however, they were all in bloom simultaneously. Ordinarily, of course, that would never happen. Krishna says, "Beloved, look, look. Somewhere a cuckoo sings. Somewhere a cricket cries. Somewhere a peacock dances. Somewhere a regal swan coos. Somewhere a kiki bird warbles. Somewhere a huddy-tucka bird calls. This meeting of all the seasons brings a great pleasure to me." Note, these creatures appear during different seasons. Navavrinda says, "Look, look, look! Blowing past the Malaya sandalwood forest filled with sharp-fanged snakes and dipping into the lotus-filled waters of the Pampa River, a breeze has now entered Vrindavan forest to render service to you, the master of Garuda." Krishna glances at the tree. "O kadamba trees, is everything well for you? O priyangu vines, are you happy now? O pilu trees, is everything good for you now? O mango trees, have you become prosperous now? O madhavi vines, have you become fortunate now? At last Radha's friend Krishna now enters among you and follows your path." Navavrinda says, "Lord, now that its cave has become a palace for your meeting with Radha, Nandishwara Hill has become very happy." Krishna, glancing at Radha, says, "O slender-waisted girl, do you recognize this restless-eyed doe now standing on the peak of Nandishwara Hill? Thinking it to be a clump of grass, this doe used to fearlessly and repeatedly bite the vine that was your emerald necklace." Radha says, "How could I not recognize her? This is my dear friend, the doe named Rangini." Krishna says, "O beautiful one, there is a large stone splendid as an autumn cloud. I used to sit on that stone and watch the great wrestling pastimes of the coward boys." Radha says, "Navavrinda, what is this tree? With its beautiful flowers, it seems to mock the flowers of the Nagakeshara tree." Navavrinda replies, "O simple girl, this is a Kubjika tree." Radha, picking a cluster of flowers and gazing at it, says, "Ha ha, a demon bee is hiding there." Krishna says, "O girl whose eyes are like the frightened eyes of a doe, let go of the twig that holds this bee. O girl with the beautiful eyebrows, in this world Kubja trees are famous as places of fear." Navavrinda aside says, "As Radha listens to the words of her lord, she also glances at me from the corner of her crooked smiling eyes. Openly she says, 'Friend, you should ask lotus-eyed Krishna yourself.'" Krishna says, "Navavrinda, don't be afraid. You tell me what your friend wants to say." Navavrinda says, "She wants to say, 'My lord, the touch of these kubja flowers brings great pleasure to this bumblebee. Why should I be afraid?'" Note, if the word Madhusudana is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon, and the word kubja to mean crooked girl, then the statement may be interpreted to mean, "My lord, this crooked girl brings great pleasure to Lord Krishna. Why should I be afraid?" Krishna, smiling, says, "Your friend is frightened for no good reason. Look, the Krishna bumblebee is not staying with the crooked girl after all. He has left her. and now he flies into the fragrant forest of Radha's face. Radha, frightened, says, Oh, restless bumblebee, stop, stop! Bold rake, I will hit you with this toy lotus. Krishna says, Look, this bumblebee is no longer pleased with the palasa flower. Now he thinks the Priyangu flower is useless. He will not stay in the Vasanti flower. He is not happy with the Kumuda flower. He will not go to the Lovely flower. The fragrance of your face has made him blind with the most intense kind of happiness. Navavrinda says, Presenting to Lord Krishna the pitchers of water that are its flowing streams, the parasols that are its trees, the resting places that are the spataka stones, the ornaments that are its glistening mineral pigments, and the mirrors that are its many jewels, this king of mountains, the hill named Govardhan, is now splendidly manifest before us. Krishna says, O slender one, look at the jubilant, intoxicated peacock playing on the top of Govardhan Hill. On the pretext of very enthusiastic dancing, that peacock would sometimes drop a feather that was actually intended as the gift of an ear ornament to you. Radha says, O Tandavika, O king of peacocks, may you prosper always. Krishna says, Beloved, do you remember the path from Govardhan Hill to the Jamuna? Radha says, How could I not remember? In Sanskrit, she says, The circle of champaka trees ahead of us leads to a row of punaga trees. Next is a grove of jam trees, and then a great kadamba forest. In this way, there is a broad path lined with many, many beautiful trees leading from the slope of Govardhan Hill to the Jamuna River. Krishna smiles. Come, let us go to the Jamuna by this path. Everyone does that. Navarinda says, Its gracefully moving waters filled with lotus flowers, the splendid Jamuna River, the sister of the demigod Yama, makes my eyes dance with joy. Krishna says, The Bandiyara tree before us happily bends in the breeze, its leaves defeating all peacock feather rivals. With hundreds and millions of very great branches, it is the king of all trees on the Jamuna's shore. Radha in Sanskrit says, Spreading a charming sweet fragrance surrounded by agitated bumblebees and bearing many beautiful flowers, these multitudes of jasmine vines enchant my heart. Krishna, repeating what Radha said, Spreading a charming sweet fragrance surrounded by agitated bumblebees and bearing many beautiful flowers, these multitudes of jasmine vines enchant my heart. Navavrinda says, Ah, by rubbing against your necklace, the garland of Sura Sogandhika flowers has now fallen from Krishna's chest. Look, a swan has picked it up in her beak and is flying away with it. Krishna says, Why is she flying to the pond inside the palace? Navarinda says, Even a liberated soul free from all material desires cannot renounce the happiness of yearning to live in Vrindavan. What then can be said of other creatures not so exalted as this? They must all long to stay in Vrindavan. Note, if the word Ati Mukta is taken to mean the vine named Ati Mukta, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. Even the exalted Ati Mukta vine cannot renounce the happiness of yearning to live in Vrindavan. What then can be said of other creatures not so exalted? They must all long to stay in Vrindavan. Krishna says, Beloved, never before have Ati Mukta and Malati flowers bloomed in such a beautiful way. When I was in the home of my guru, I learned the art of making crowns of flowers. I will pick some of these flowers and make for you a crown of flowers more beautiful than any crown ever made. He walks for some distance and then becomes struck with wonder. What is this on the jeweled wall that enchants my heart with its sweetness? He looks again. Ah, how have I become reflected here? Agitated, he says, Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it like Srimati Radharani. He goes ahead. With bumblebees at its unblinking eyes, this splendid, unfading Malati flower is like a beautiful demigoddess come to earth. Note, unlike ordinary mortals, the demigods and demigoddesses have no need ever to blink their eyes. Chandravali enters. Madhavi, surely a swan brought this garland of Sura Sogandhika flowers from Vrindavan. Madhavi says, "Yes, I thought this garland brought the sweet fragrance of a girl's meeting with her lover. That is why I brought you here." Chandravali, looking at her own limbs, says, "Oh, why am I decorated with Satyabhama's garments and ornaments?" Madhavi, lying, says, "Princess, I made a mistake." Chandravali, looking ahead, says, "Friend, look, there is my noble husband. He is not very far away." Madhavi says, "That is not your husband ahead. It is only the reflection of him on that wall of sapphires." Chandravali says, "Ah, this reflection is so wonderful." She walks ahead. "Ah, I see my noble husband picking flowers. I will approach him alone." She does that. Krishna, seeing Chandravali, he becomes blissful and says to himself, "Why has Radha, the queen of my life, come here?" Openly, he says, "Beloved, why have you come here from so far away?" He glances at her and the hairs on his body stand up. "O girl whose restless eyes are like two restless Kunjana birds, please have no doubt in your heart. I vow before all my elders that I speak to you the truth. You alone are my beloved. You alone are the medicinal herb that sustains my life." Chandravali happily says to herself, "By remaining silent, I will observe his real feelings." Navavrinda, staying among the vines, says, "Ha! Why has Queen Rukmini come here disguised in Radha's garments and ornaments? He thinks she is Radha. I will send him a message in verse with that parrot, and then he will no longer make that mistake." She writes on a Ketaki leaf, and then tosses the leaf behind the scenes. She looks again and becomes jubilant. Fortunately, the parrot dropped the leaf letter in Krishna's hand. He is now looking at it. "Let me hide." She then exits. Krishna looks at the leaf letter, and then he reads it to himself. "O king of the bumblebees, please know that what you mistakenly think is a garland of new Kanikara flowers is actually a garland of Kairava buds just beginning to blossom and anointed with kumkuma paste." He glances at Chandravali and then says to himself, "Well done, Navabrinda, well done. At the perfect time you have rendered the perfect service. No one has served me this well before." Openly he says, "O queen, why are you so indifferent? Why do you not splash me with the waves of mercy from your heart?" He respectfully gazes at her and says, "With the opulences of your coolness and your sweet fragrance, you eclipse both Chandras, the moon and the camphor. O Chandravali, please use your opulences to make the limbs of my body happy." Madhavi, staying within the vines, becomes very happy and says to herself, "The garments and ornaments fashioned by Vishwakarma have brought the sweetness of her good fortune." Krishna says, "O beloved, please embrace your friend who is now tossed by the waves of amorous desire. At first he is affectionate, but then he suddenly shrinks back with feigned fear. Alas, how horrible! By mistake I have committed a great offense. This is not my queen. This is some other girl." He reflects, "Yes, I know. This must be the granddaughter of Vishwakarma. Today he pointed her out to me from far away." On some pretext, Chandravali displays the garland. Krishna, aside, says, "Ah, this calamity was created by that swan." Openly, he says, "Wonderful, this is wonderful. How has this girl obtained the Surasugandhika garland I lost by the Jamuna River? Now I will go into the palace and tell this unprecedented story to my queen. Now even the slightest bud of the fraction of a stain of any offense will no longer even glance at me from the corner of its eye." He then exits. Madhavi, approaching, says, "Princess, what does all this mean?" Chandravali says, "These are the symptoms of a great flood of intense, spontaneous, sincere love." Madhavi says, "Princess, this lover is very cunning. It is very difficult to understand what he is doing. Come, let us see Satyabhama." Chandravali glances at Radha, becomes agitated, and then says in Sanskrit, "The symptoms of a great calamity that were formerly present in this girl has now disappeared. The satisfaction on her face bears witness to the happiness hidden in her heart. Her glittering eyes move to and fro. This beautiful girl shows all the symptoms of having attained the great treasure that is the association of Lord Krishna." Radha, looking, she becomes unhappy and says to herself, "Alas, this Chakravaka bird is about to meet her blue lotus flower. Why has this envious swan come?" Chandravali smiles. Friend Satyabhama, tell the truth. When Krishna presses you to him with his strong arms, does the Kastuba jewel stay between you? Radha says, my queen, what purpose do you serve by scolding this tormented person? Madhavi says, plunged into the turbulent nectar waves of the celestial river of this girl's beauty, the elephant that is the supreme personality of Godhead cannot remember even his own self. How can he remember this placid lake that is Princess Rukmini? Note, if the word Sura Rangini is divided, Sura Rangini, then it may be interpreted to mean of the amorous girl. In this way, the statement may be interpreted, plunged into the violent nectarian waves of the beauty of this amorous girl, the elephant that is the supreme personality of Godhead cannot remember even his own self. How can he remember the placid little lake that is Princess Rukmini? Chandravali smiles and says with irony, O greedy friend, why without even telling me have you devoted yourself to these harsh austerities? Radha says, O queen, this person has taken shelter of you. Instead of protecting her, you simply mock her. For a superior, is this right? In Sanskrit she says, I am simply a weak girl dependent on others. My relatives have placed me in your house. The master of your house is a restless rake who likes to destroy the chastity of pious girls. I will certainly not survive in this place. O queen, please give to me the boat of your mercy so that I will be able to cross beyond this danger. Chandravali aside says, she speaks the truth. Openly, my friend, what do you wish? Radha says, O queen, until I have completed my vow of austerity with the Shaimanchaka jewel, please protect me. Chandravali says, friend, have faith. Because I always keep clever Madhavi by my side, Krishna will never be able to cheat me with one of his tricks. Madhavi says, beautiful one, I will send the box of ornaments Vishwakarma intended to give to you. Chandravali says, friend, please go to the pavilion of Madhavi vines and I will go with Madhavi into the palace. She exits and everyone exits.
Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Bhakti Vinoda Raya Bhakti Vinoda Raya